Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. So as you are aware, I am away this week on vacation, so these episodes that you're hearing are pre-recorded. Today's episode is actually the first 15 minutes of an interview that I did with someone named Abby. This was originally for the Patreon episodes. In this interview, Abby discusses the various elements that went into making this decision, the sacrifices that it required, all while understanding that while it may offer a temporarily better circumstance, it's not necessarily a long-term fix. You may find this episode especially interesting if you have thought about, you know, the place where you live and the idea of relocating. And if you'd like to hear the entire episode, feel free to please join us on Patreon. Thanks. Abby, thanks for joining today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's super exciting. We talked a little bit before I clicked the record button here and gave me a chance just to get to know you. And it made me really excited about the topic of the conversation because it's something that I and I think a lot of different people are thinking about, which is moving outside of the U.S. or outside of their current location and figuring out the logistics and everything that goes along with doing that. So let's have you introduce yourself briefly. Let us know maybe where you're from, how you became Collapse Aware, and then we'll jump into that topic.
Cool. Yeah. My name's Abby. I use they, them pronouns. Currently living in Narm, also known as Melbourne, Australia. I'm from like Appalachia, Rust Belt, grew up kind of rural, had been living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for the last 5 years. And honestly, like I'm pretty new to Collapse Awareness. It was really just in the last year or so that I would say fully kind of like came to that, which is interesting because it was such an interesting experience. Like, so we started talking about this move right before the presidential election last year.
Yep.
You know, just like, okay, we hope this goes well, but what if it doesn't?
In case it doesn't, we need to have a plan.
What are our options? And we started talking about coming down to Australia, and then post-election, it was like, oh God, we've been talking about this and now we need to start making decisions. Right. And like in tandem with that, my partner who had like been engaging with some Collapse materials over time, had found Andrea P's videos on YouTube, who I know some other people have mentioned. And like, we were watching through those together. And that was the first time I think that like Collapse wholesale really hit me. Like that was the first time I was exposed to this like sort of conclusion of it and like really understood it in its totality. And I was like, oh my God. And I had the experience a lot of people have, you know, which was the like the big emotions and like the grief and, you know, had this frenzy of like research and diving into like other resources and materials, but also just had like, it didn't take long before like the relief sank in for me. You know, it was just like naming this like thing that's been looming over everyone that I think most people have a sense of.
Totally.
You know, even if they can't face it or name it. And so it was like really in that next month or two after the election that like I was diving into this and really just reinforcing for myself, like, nope, this is real. There's evidence, like there's data, like this is what's happening. Okay, this is my new paradigm of the world. This is really useful. And then, you know, from that place, we started to kind of talk about what trajectory we wanted, my partner and I, what trajectory we wanted to be taking and like how we wanted to be living with all of that in mind.
So there's Collapse Awareness, and then there's awareness that the United States is falling into a dictatorship and what that collapse entails. And they run in parallel, but there's also kind of a diverging, they're two different things, right? In a way. They bounce off each other, and there's plenty of interlaced consequences and all of that there. But your move to Australia was primarily driven by Donald Trump in the United States. Is that right?
Yeah, like the piece of our move that was motivated by collapse has been motivated by the US political piece of that, largely. Because otherwise, sort of looking at like climate factors, like climate change, access to water, like access to agriculture, things like that, Pittsburgh's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
that's a cool area of the world to be in. There's three whole rivers right there. I don't think
Amazing.
they're gonna dry up anytime soon.
Sure. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh, we just like are not subjected to the severity of natural disasters and like those kinds of events that you see elsewhere in the US. So for a lot of reasons, it didn't make sense to leave Pittsburgh. But the fact that Pittsburgh is unfortunately located inside of the US
Totally. Yeah.
was kind of the big driving factor. So yeah. And like our entire move was not motivated by collapse. Like some of it is homecoming. My partner is Australian, and hasn't lived here in a long time. So it's like a coming back. It's a reconnecting. It's good opportunities for their work here in Melbourne. But yeah, like it the conversation kicked off around the election.
Totally.
So the political piece of it was big for sure. Yeah.
And you're definitely not alone. I like even amongst
Yeah.
people who are not collapse aware, there are tons of people who are leaving the US or trying to, they're considering their options because of the Trump presidency. They can sense the impending like dictatorship that's trying to take over, that's thus far being successful. And so, yeah, it's not like it's definitely not a new thing. And in my own brain, I think a lot the same way as you do, that you're supposed to build community and you want to be around what you know. And as you go into collapse, I personally have I grew up where I am. I've left a few times and I've come back, but many of the people in my neighborhood I've known for 30 years, and it's really hard to grapple with this idea of leaving that for a place that may or may not be better from a like climate change perspective, but and who knows how it will fare due to the other consequences of collapse, but figuring out what the right choice is. And in some ways I view for myself a potential move as being hopefully temporary, in the hope that maybe possibly things work themselves out here, and after the dust settles, there could be a move back, right? Or something like that. And so, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to consider making a move that is not good in the long run, perhaps, due to climate change and other consequences, but that is the right move perhaps to make now or for the next decade or so. Is that kind of how you're looking at it? Or do you think you'll make Melbourne your long-term forever home?
It's interesting. So like I can relate to you in regards to like I knew a lot of people in Pittsburgh, like my whole community was there and like kind of in the area around it. And so that emotional piece of it, like leaving my community, like I was leaving basically everyone I knew.
Right.
And I was anxious to see how people would respond to the news that we were leaving, just like for my own processing of it. And people were really supportive, but the question I got a lot was like, well, are you moving forever? And the answer I've had to give people is I don't know,
Yeah.
because there's something about like uprooting to that degree and intending for it to be temporary, which is also scary. Like, do I want to like rip my life out of this place where I've been for most of my life and start building something somewhere else and then plan to down the road rip that up too?
Right.
Like that's also like a really difficult prospect. So, I think at the moment we're planning to stay here for a while. We actually like just bought a house, which
Okay.
was very exciting. Like we're really lucky to be able to do. Probably at least for the next 5 years.
Great.
But it's also really hard to know like what's going to happen in 5 years anywhere, both like in the US and here. for the sort of like climate change reasons. Like Melbourne's not in the best spot.
Totally.
We're definitely subject to things like drought. Regional bushfires are a big thing, not so much in the city, but like we could definitely get a lot of smoke here. Sea level rise in general could start impacting the city more. It's a coastal city. So there are things like that to consider, but I think our current hope is to kind of settle in here and see how that goes. But it's hard to say, especially if things got really tough in the US, like would I feel compelled to come back
Right.
and like support my family, or would I be able to from here work on getting people out? And that's
Exactly.
something that I've had in mind as well. There's not zero like a zero amount of guilt to leaving, to
Right.
like having the resources and having this pathway ourselves. It's like, well, I'm leaving everyone behind. We're leaving because it's getting bad.
Yep.
And we're leaving all of these people behind, and so there's a part of being here that's important to me, that is like setting ourselves up to support loved ones, if they need to get out later. And
Have you seen The Handmaid's Tale?
I haven't watched the show, but I read the book. Like
Okay,
I
awesome.
watched a little bit of the show. It was doing too much
It
for me,
was
but
too
I
much.
read the book.
Yeah, okay. Great. And I want to read the book, but I've watched the show. So,
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
It just reminds me of that. That's one of the things that sort of set me and my wife up talking about it and just wanting to explore our options was like, the people who were outside were the ones that were able to make the difference. And being outside, that border made all the difference, right? And it, of course, it's a fictional work of art. But that said, I think in a lot of cases, like if it stops at the border, at least the worst of it, then yeah, you have more power. You're not doing really any good if you're endangering yourself by making yourself a victim, right? But by putting yourself in a position. And I also think if things don't get terrible, if they don't get really bad, I mean, they're already terrible, but if they don't get the worst they could get, that you have set yourself up to be with options, right? You've got flexibility now. You are getting yourself set with a visa in Australia. Hopefully, I don't know your situation if it's a long-term visa, but that would allow for you to move back and forth or just have one extra place where you've got roots planted. And the nice thing is, you mentioned like you don't want to have to rip up the roots where you're at. And I think honestly, like in my own experience, because like I said, I've left my hometown several times for years at a time. And you come back and it's just like before you left. And so the more networking you can have, the more places where you can plant those roots, the more opportunity you're giving yourself, and like you said, your loved ones a place to come if needed.
Totally, absolutely. Sorry, I
Tell
don't have
me
any additional thoughts at the moment.
tell me about the like obviously it's not an easy choice to make. You mentioned that there's some guilt involved there. What other sort of emotional consequences are there of making a move like this?
I mean, it's like the usual part of any big move to a brand new place, even outside of like the current political sphere and like collapse and all that. It's just like I am having to learn a new city, a new country, a new city, a new culture entirely. So like there's a little bit of culture shock. There's just a boatload of logistics involved, man. So like, from leaving Pittsburgh, and this, I mean, yeah, this is I dealing with the logistics is emotional for me because it's just like overwhelming sometimes. The like, oh, we gotta call these people to do the mover stuff, and then we gotta like now our stuff is on a boat. We can't hope
we
it
hope
doesn't
it gets
fall in the
here.
ocean. I'm only here, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here, and like the visa process is bureaucratic and extensive and like invasive, and
Okay.
there's like the emotional component of like boxing up, you know, because I'm getting a partner visa since my partner's Australian, and so there's this emotional component of like formatting and boxing up our relationship in this neat little package to present to the Australian government to be like, I promise this is a real thing, please believe us. And then
Right.
just, and then like the waiting for things to get approved, and like being in this sort of like immigration limbo, you know, where it's like, I live here now, I'm building a life here now, but like I am at the mercy of this government. Currently coming from the US, and like being white, like we're both white, like we have a major advantage there. You know, immigration is likely to go fairly easily for both of us, but there's a lot of anti-immigration sentiment here as there is anywhere. And so I have in the back of my mind, like what could change in the next couple of years and the time it takes me to get, you know, residency, permanent residency, citizenship, like what policies could change that might impact me. So there's just this like level of uncertainty and like things are out of my hands. That's really disconcerting. And it hopefully won't be like that forever, if we're here long enough. But just looking at how things are in the US around immigration, just the threats to deport people and denaturalize people, you know, so far those kinds of politics haven't made their way here to that extent. It's much more moderate and centrist and less extreme. And those kind of like Trumpian politics have not taken hold in the same way here. But I don't expect that we'll be immune from that forever, you know,
right.
And like part of the move here was we're buying ourselves time, not expecting that like this Western country is going to be immune from all of the bullshit, all of the other Western countries are going through at the moment. So it's just that part of it. It's like, can I just get booted out of this place where I'm living for no reason, you know, because these people show up and decide they want to.
Okay, so we will leave it there for now. If you want to listen to the last 10 minutes or so of this interview, there's a link to join us in the episode description. Thanks a bunch. See you tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.